Just to let you know that Paul McLaughlin is on with us after 11 o'clock taking your gardening questions. There's been a bit of lull in the weather, hasn't there? And we're heading into August and maybe some windy weather forecast for Monday, but we could be ending up for a fantastic August. We simply don't know. And our gardens, if we're lucky enough to have them, or our plants, if we have them in a flat or on a windowsill, are probably as good now as they'll be, or in fact, maybe they could improve. Who's to say? Paul McLaughlin, he's going to be joining us after 11. If you want a question answered, now's the time to get in touch, because as soon as a guest comes on, we get a rush, and that's fantastic. But we also want to get to every question that might be out there. So get your questions into Paul McLaughlin right now on 086 60 25000. If it's easier for you to explain in a voice note, please feel free to just hold the record button on WhatsApp and send the voice note. It might be easier to articulate that way. It might be easier for you to articulate any point that way, and we are more than happy to accept your voice notes. So Paul McLaughlin coming up after 11 o'clock taking your gardening questions. Right. In relation to increasing fees for planning objections, a caller says if you kick up the fees, too many contractors will develop bully boy tactics and build what they want because the average person cannot afford these big fees. Would be leaning into my area of concern. Another, it is European law that people can make planning objections, and Ireland is the only country in Europe to charge for making comments on planning applications. The councillor wants to thwart the law. Tell him to read the Arras Convention. Well, he's looking to increase the charge, not necessarily stop people objecting, but some, obviously, as I outlined in the first hour of the show, for some on certain resources, it would be effectively thwarting their right to object. Another caller says there are presently five houses in the Gorta Hawk area which belong to the council, and yet no one is being rehoused in them. Surely more should be done to reuse these houses. Why is the council not re-letting these homes at this vital time of a housing crisis? And that's been a national conversation over recent months, hasn't it? A caller says in relation to the Fort Dunreen money, so they can build more cycle lanes with that money. Well, I don't know if that would have the same return as a jewel in the crown type development in Fort Dunreen, but some people not too happy with the subject matter of that. A caller says, would that money not be better spent on building a dam to supply water to Letterkenny instead of pumping it from Inishowen? Well, that pipe's laid now, so that's probably a fait accompli. A caller says, workers are enslaved into a society that taxes us more, thus we need to work more, meaning the standard hours post office isn't as viable as it was, forcing individuals into having to use technology. But what happens when that fails and we'll have black spots in technology and electric? They're coming sooner rather than later. Then we're really stuck, says a listener. Dolores says, Greg, I'd be one that would do all my bill paying at On Post. I know it's safe there. I was wondering why Donegal County Council wants us to do online banking. Do they know something we don't? I think every institution is moving in that direction. And I think naturally that is going to be the case. I mean, you know, say for instance, younger people now, are they going to be paying electricity bills in a post office in 5 or 10 years' time? You know, if they're 15 now, are they going to be going into an office to tax their car? Probably doing it online, probably tapping their watch on their phone or some other security apparatus to pay online. You know, I think there is it's going to phase out naturally because of the behaviour of the next generation. A caller says, I went to open a post office book. Oh my God, on the form, they want to know everything about you. How much do we get paid? Sure, that's none of their business, would you not think? Another caller says, with banks closed in smaller towns, post offices are a handy way to get money, indeed. But then again, I went to lodge a cheque recently in a post office and they weren't able to accept it without a lodgement slip, and I'm not a business customer. So in that instance, it was of no useful function to me. Right. I would like to complain about the toilets in Bundoran at the beach. They are a health hazard. That comes in from Pat, plain and simple. I'm not familiar with the toilets in recent times, but we haven't heard about Bundoran toilets in quite some time. If you've been down there and you agree, let us know. 086 60 25000. Happy wedding anniversary. Happy wedding anniversary to Desi and Anne Harkin, Drumney Letterkenny. Have a wonderful day. Lots of love from daughters, Tina, and grandchildren, Zara, Sky, Jed. and Lily. Now, I just want to give you a quick mention of a trip we have that is coming very close to capacity. So if you have any notion at all of going to see Riverdance for the first time, or indeed reliving the memories of 30 years ago, Riverdance 30, the new generation, is coming to the Gaiety Theatre in Dublin for a limited anniversary tour. And we've put together a package to make it as easy as possible for you to go and watch in great seats. It's on Thursday, the 28th of August. Now, as part of our package, and as I say, there are very limited spaces, we have overnight accommodation, bed and breakfast at the four-star Grand Canal Hotel in the heart of Dublin. The handy thing is we pick you up in a luxury coach and we drop you at the door and hand you tickets to the show. We also allow a bit of free time in Dublin if you want to pick up a little bit of shopping or have a walk around before we get you back on that luxury coach and drop you home. Now, as I say, there are very limited spaces. It's €249 per person sharing. Take the coach out of that, take the tickets out of that, and take a night in a Dublin hotel out of that in the summer period, and you will see that you are getting excellent value for money, if you have the money to spare, of course. So, as I say, very limited availability. Don't miss out. You can find out more information now by giving Bronwyn a ring on 074 9125000 or visiting highlandradio.com. And shall I give one more quick mention today to the Country Music Weekend? Because this is a nice one. If you want a bit of a treat for yourself and you love dancing, now, a lot of our shows that we put on would be seated shows. And you know, you out there, you love your country music and you'd be mad to get up and have a jive. Well, this one is for you. And even if you're in Letterkenny, you can treat yourself to an overnight stay in your own town or make your way from Inishowen, Donegal Town, Kilcar, wherever you are, because we are hosting two nights of dancing in the Clannery Hotel Letterkenny on the 31st of October and the 1st of November. So it's two big nights of music with great bands and musicians. Michael English and his band, Patrick Feeney and his band, David James is there with his band, Stacey Breen and Jordan McPollen. So you can have two nights bed and breakfast plus tickets to both nights of dancing, and that's all for just €249 per person. Again, if you want to break that down, you know how much it costs to get into a big dancing night, you get into two. You know how much it costs for two nights in a hotel, you get them as well. And you know how much your breakfast can cost. So on the face of it, €249 might seem a considered purchase, but when you add it all up, and it could be a big treat for you and him, or him and her, or whoever, then it starts to make good value. And you can be home nice and early, but have that sort of away trip experience of staying in a hotel and getting up for your brekkie. Give us a ring for more information here again on 91 25,000, or you can contact the Clannery Hotel on 91 24 369 or highlandradio.com. So just two wee things that could be, maybe you'd want to go on both, one or other, or maybe it fell on deaf ears and it's none. Anyway, final reminder, Paul McLaughlin coming up after 11 with your gardening questions. Get those phone lines hopping. Now, an interesting event taking place at the Clonmany Festival this Wednesday, the 6th of August. It is Live Well, Be Well, and it's a well-being and self-care day. Christina McElhenney is well-being specialist at Live Well, Be Well and joins us on the programme now. Lovely to see you, Christina. How are you today?
I'm good, Greg. I just want to do a wee slight correction at the very beginning.
Oh, great. What a start. Go on.
No, it's probably the way that the information is picked up. I understand that perfectly. It is a Clonmany Festival Wellbeing and Self-Care Day. And I'm part of a team of seven that's actually organising the day. Yvonne, Elma, Mary, Geraldine, Noreen and Rosina. I'm one of the sponsors of the day as well. So the way that I would sponsor it is to give to charity on that day. So our charity is the Lough Swilly Lifeboats. It is a free event. It's a fabulous event. We're covering a lot of different areas of well-being, and I'll tell you a wee bit about that. Basically, we have a day that is arranged in a number of rooms in Clonmany Community Centre, which is a fabulous centre, and it really lends itself to this type of an event. So I'll tell you what we're actually covering. We've got incredible speakers. We have speakers that are going to talk about positive self-talk. That's Nicole Gordon. We're going to talk about gut health by Catherine Kelly. Triona Stafford is going to talk about Is What You're Wearing Making You Unwell? We have Dr. Kathy Murray coming from our local Inishowen Medical and she's going to talk about modern medical approaches to menopause. We've Marie Doherty talking about breath work. We have myself talking about transforming struggle into strength. We have a fabulous healthy cooking demonstration by Gary McPeak. We have a an incredible amount of different types of stalls from holistic and wellbeing practitioners. And I'll go on to name them in a wee minute if you want them kind of named in that. We've also got support services there. We've got Insight and Ashon. We've got Lifeline in Insight and Ashon, mental health and emotional wellbeing. We've got Jigsaw, who are youth mental health. We've got Sinead O'Toole being there around neurodivergence. And we have a beautiful event to round it all off. And that would be, we have wellbeing singers coming. And we want everybody in the hall, including all of our stalls and all of our practitioners, to actually join in that particular wee bit of singing, so we can all go out the door in good form.
Yeah, and as you say, it is a free event, but people are welcome to make a donation on the day to the RNLI Lifeboats. One of the big speakers you've secured, a speaker very much in demand, is Oisin McConville, a brand ambassador for Gambling Awareness Trust. He's with us as well, and we really appreciate your time, Oisin, and we appreciate the work that you're doing as well. It's a very relatable voice, yours, obviously, because you're an idol to so many. You've done it all, but you're so frank too, and you deliver the info in your way, and it resonates.
Thanks, Greg. I suppose the fourth thing is you'd be glad to know I'm not doing any singing.
So, well, no, I would. I would say our other guest on the line might have an alternative view, Oisin, but it's up to you. Go ahead.
Well, I'm open to it, but no. Look, I suppose these events are very, very important community-based events, especially because I think we have a societal problem with addiction in general, in particular gambling is something that I'd be very passionate about, and people getting into recovery. So I think events like this are very, very important. And I think the other important thing is the setting, the time of year. Like, I mean, it almost feels in this country that we spend the winter talking about mental health and we spend the rest of the year, you know, completely ignoring it. So I do think that, you know, the timing of the event, the things that accompany, you know, myself talking or whoever it happens to be, there's so many facets to mental health, and there's so many facets to I suppose the things that people really need to hear about, and the things that are important, and the things that are you know, for the one thing that I keep, that keeps approaching me is that, you know, parents are really aware of what is going on in kids' lives. And one of the things about what's going on in kids' lives is there's a multitude of things, there's a multitude of challenges. The challenges that kids have now are completely different to the ones that we have. And I think it's important to highlight those things, and it's important to use whatever forum we can get to really highlight these things and start, you know, start a conversation about them, because I think when we're talking about them, that lifts the stigma and that helps everybody who finds themselves in that little bit of bother.
Yeah, all addictions, obviously, listen, they're not competing, but gambling, whenever we talk about gambling on this programme, and we do quite a lot, Oisin, people say thank you, thanks very much, because they feel it's not talked about enough, and it's one of those real hidden sort of addictions that that affects, and it's similar to other addictions, but it affects the person who's addicted, but maybe they get paid on a Thursday and they come home and all the money is gone, and an entire family then have to deal with that and the consequences of it. And we saw yesterday from some recent stats that gambling is ever present as a presenting addiction. A lot of people presenting with cocaine, alcohol addiction. Gambling is there. I think it was in and around the 10% as a co-addiction as well. Like, we really need to not have it seasonal like you talk of, but, you know, make sure we're pushing this message like Christine and her team are doing all year round.
Yeah, and I think that's an important message as well, is it's not just that person in addiction. Like, we're doing with gamblingcare.ie, we're doing a program at the minute, and it's around affected others. Now, I don't know if people want to be known as an affected other, but if you want to say friends, family members, loved ones, whatever way you want to put it, for every person who's in addiction, a conservative estimate is that it's affecting 10 other people. So if we have the ESRI said that we have 130,000 problem gamblers in this country. So if you extend that out to the people that's affecting, you know, you're close to 1.5 million. And I think the big thing about The big thing about that for me is that it is in every society. It's up and down the country. When I gambled in the bookmakers. People don't do that anymore. As you quite rightly say, it's a very, very hidden addiction. It is the highest rate of suicide of all the addictions, and it's something probably that doesn't get the airtime that maybe it needs to get at this stage.
Yeah, because someone can seem like the perfect partner. And they could be a very good partner, don't get me wrong. Having addiction doesn't make you bad, but it's how it presents to the public. And I think that can make the others feel incredibly isolated. And it's a big battle, Oisin, isn't it? Because, you know, we're fighting a sort of a system that is trying to get gamblers gambling very, very young. We sort of have a soft touch approach to it. I could extend it to alcohol. Maybe it's the same in that regard. Cocaine, we know it's available absolutely everywhere. And we're not pushing back on this attitude that it's not that bad. It's not the worst of drugs. You know, the work that you're doing and Christina and others are doing, it's an uphill struggle, one that you can never give up on, Oisin, but you're fighting a whole system that seems designed to counter what you're doing.
Yeah, it definitely does feel like that sometimes, and it feels as if, you know, you're fighting a battle that you're never going to win. But I think the big thing that I've taken away for the last number of years is it's something you need to chip away at. It's not something that's going to be, you know, sorted in the morning. It's not something that, you know, us coming on a radio station talking about it. But it does chip away at this notion that people cannot get into recovery. It's very difficult for people to get into recovery now, especially, you know, for the recent core who are gambling online, who would think it alien to walk into a bookmaker's. It's very difficult for people to get into long-term recovery as a result of that. But, you know, what do we do? Do we hold our hands up and give up on it? I don't think so. I think, you know, legislation and regulation in this country is obviously improving. You know, we have a new regulator. All of those things are going to help. And I think it's important that the message stays out there that, you know, if you have a problem, put your hand up, ask, and that is the start of the process. It's not easy from that point, but it's certainly the start of the process.
And what you're doing even now, look, there's always someone at that point whereby they recognise themselves in this conversation, that they realise that there can be someone who seems to have the world at their feet that can go down the same rabbit hole that they're in. Or maybe it's a partner that recognises this behaviour and says to them, please get on to gamblecare.ie, call 1-800-936-725. And that's why these kinds of conversations, Oisin, will always be worthwhile, because I think every time we have them, we're not fixing all of the problems, but we're maybe turning that one person's life around who gets inspiration in what you're saying and realises that it's not a weakness, it's addiction, like an addiction to food or alcohol, but there is help there. It can be tough to get into some programmes, but you can turn your life around just like that today if you wish. 1-800-936-725.
Yeah, definitely, Greg. And I think the other thing is that there's a notion out there that the services aren't there for people who end up in addiction, in particular with gambling. But, you know, I'd like to destroy that notion, because there is plenty of help out there, and it's just a matter of tapping into it. And once you've tapped into it, then your life is never the same again.
Oisin, thanks so much for pulling in and having a chat.
Thanks,
I really
Greg.
Appreciate it. We look forward to getting you to Clonmany. Take care of yourself. Christina McElhenney, that's just a testament to the quality of guests you've lined up. And it's, you know, it's all kind of intertwined, isn't it? Because we often talk about, I mean, sometimes you can work on yourself even when you're not in the depths, right? So could that be the positive self-talk? Could that be your gut health or physical mental health intertwined? And you've been doing this for a long time. You know what works, Christina.
Yeah, Greg, we're really delighted to have this opportunity, you know, to speak to all the listeners out there and to say, look, we are all a work in progress. We all have the things that we manage well, and we all have the things that we don't manage well. And I'm working in this field 17 years now at this stage. And the good news is that the government has taken the problem gambling very, very seriously. And they're actually supporting the implementation of gambling interventionists. And the Northwest region will have one specifically tied to Northwest Regional Drug and Alcohol Task Force. So there are many different types of addictions. And like Oisin just said, you know, it may be others have noticed, you know, that you're in difficulty. And a lot of the time, you have to come to a point of acceptance that you're actually in difficulty as well before you can take that first step. And there is help out there. And can I just say something really, really important? This whole day is about being non-judgmental. It's about support. It's about help. It's about being able to reach out. It's having services there and people there that might be able to help you on your journey, whatever your journey actually is. And the underpinning ethos of this day, and I love the ladies that have been involved in it. There's seven of us all together. And we have a very strong ethos around, you know, doing some good and paying it forward. Mm. And this is why we don't charge for the event. And none of the stalls that are coming there are charged to be there for the event. This is all around, you know, really talking about the things that help us, that our physical health, emotional health, our social health. We're even organising tables where people can sit down and have a cup of tea and have a wee sandwich and that type of thing. Just the socialness of being there. So it's not like a rush in and a rush out. We've lovely physical activities as well that are happening. You're going to get a chance to try out bounce. You're going to get a chance to try out Tai Chi. You're going to get a chance to try out, you know, a number of different physical. So we're looking at everything, you know, the spiritual, the intellectual, the occupational, the financial and the environmental. Mm. And we know that Clonmany is an absolutely unbelievable, healthy environment to be in, with the beaches and the walks and, you know, everything good and positive that way. So look, we're all about, you know, not trying to gain anything here at all, but just trying to support our own community and all our visitors to our community. And to talk about those things, you know, like gambling, and because, you know, we really had a strong ethos this year. We want to do something around addiction. We want to do something for men, and we want to do something for families that might actually, you know, be struggling, because it is a process addiction, and any of those addictions, you know, and like Oisin was saying there, can be very, very hidden until it becomes an obstacle that you cannot get around anymore, you know. So all of the people that we're bringing, you know, it really is around trying to support our local community, trying to support our visitors, and to, you know, to have a well-being day. And we hope these kind of things happen all around the country.
Because just in relation to that, Christina, as well, too, there's a large cohort of people, maybe you're in this cohort, maybe I am, where we're stressed all the time, or we're not as happy as we could be, or whatever it might be, but you cope, you batter on. And don't realise that, you know, there is another way, for an example. And because this is such a wide-ranging day, but in the same space where you can hit on, you know, someone maybe struggling with addiction or someone that just needs a bit more pep in the step, that's why it's open to everyone, because it's not going to trigger anything, but you could get people that go, you know what? You know, maybe I need to talk myself up a little bit. Maybe I spend my entire bloody life talking myself down and thinking people think this of me or that of me. And that would be your first talk at 11 o'clock. You know, loving yourself.
Yeah, and the thing about that, you know, if you can see the titles of all of those different talks, they're all hitting on very different things. Positive self-talk is what you're wearing, making you unhealth. Gut health, modern approaches to menopause, breath work, transforming struggle into strength, and of course, Oisin's talk as well. And I want to say, most importantly, if this does, you know, if coming to this day kind of makes you realise that, do you know what, when I'm listening to all of this and when I'm seeing all of this in this hall today, I realise that I do need a little bit of support somewhere. Talk to any of the practitioners, talk to myself, you know, and we will point you in the right direction. We're going to have referral information there. We have services there that you can actually, you know, make an appointment later with. And we've all of the holistic practitioners there that you might be able to make. Do you know, someone might just need a little bit of reflexology, you know, just to kind of calm their stress, that type of thing. Someone might want to learn more about mindfulness meditation. You know, we've lots of different people there. We also have Friends of Innisfail Hospice there, you know, which is a beautiful service. We have Hive, the Pink Ladies there, and they, you know, do a lot of talk and a lot of demonstrations and information around different types of cancer. We've Blue Ocean Reflexology, Holistic Therapies. We've IDP there, one of our big sponsors. We were also sponsored by by, you know, a number of counsellors as well. And we have Evolve Holistic Health, Orla Marie Mindfulness, Triona Stafford. We have Lifeline Insight. We've all of those different, you know, Claire and their bands. We've Community Centre there itself and all the services that they are actually. And we've Jigsaw for Youth Mental Health too. So we have an incredible range of practitioners and services.
And it's incredibly accessible because it's a free event, but it is a ethos being pay it forward, donations on the day to the RNLI lifeboats. You'll get something from it. It's packed, but it's also actually concise because there's an awful lot going on in a relatively short period of time. So when and where? Wednesday the 6th of August from 11am to 4pm, including a half hour for lunch in there from 1:30. Where's the location?
So the location is Clonmany Community Centre in Clonmany. So it is in Inishowen.
Okay, listen, Christine, and you yourself talking of staying power and how grit can transform a struggle. Is that in the sort of space of resilience, Christina?
It definitely in the space of resilience. And it's also, you know, to kind of bring people to the attention that if they're there today and they're sitting on that seat and we're walking about and we're getting up for our work and we're doing all those things we have to do, we actually have a lot of grit. So it's just bringing the attention to you already have it. Just call on it when you absolutely need it. And a few tips on how to turn all of those, you know, difficult experiences actually into strength and to know, to notice your own strength getting through all of these different things that you have a lot more in you than you could ever consider you actually have. So that will be the focus of that particular talk.
All right. Listen, the best of luck with everything. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Thanks a million, Greg. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. That is Christina McElhenney, their wellbeing specialist at Live Well, Be Well. That's on Wednesday, the 6th of August, 11am to 4pm. Shows a nice bit of depth to the Clonmany Festival. It is a packed running order. It's the 56th. Starts on Sunday, the 3rd. On Sunday, David James, Jason McCahill, Robert Mazzell. Monday, Cleona Hagen, Nathan Carter. Tuesday, Olivia Douglas, Mike Denver. Wednesday, High Flying Paddies, Tumbling Paddies, all the Paddies on Wednesday. On Thursday, another Paddy, this time Paddy Tracy, Derek Ryan's. On Friday, Ryan Turner, Claudia Buckley, Jimmy Buckley. Saturday, Kavanagh Brothers, John Brady. And on Sunday, Jack Keogh, Sinead Black, Jack Larry, Keelan Brown, The Two Bucks, Michael English and band. Wow, okay, what a lineup. We had the Two Bucks on the show here too. They're brilliant. They're all brilliant too. Our own Sinead back there, our own David James there. We're very well represented. That's the Clonmany Festival running from Sunday the 3rd of August. And that wellbeing day that we mentioned there, it's free. In the community centre there, it's free. It runs from 11am to 4pm, including a half hour for lunch. And you're asked if you're going along, if you have the resources to pay it forward to RNLI lifeboats. But there's no... do you know, sometimes if you go to an event like that, you might not be ready for people to see you or might think people might judge you. It's not that type of event. There's lots of different stuff for in different areas, be it cooking, positive self-talk, etc., etc. So don't be discouraged thinking that if I go there, people might think I've got this, that, or done. It's not like that. And it's been designed in a way to make sure it doesn't come across like that. I am absolutely sure. All right, that sounds like a really interesting one. Now, new research dispels myth of conspiracy theorists as isolated outsiders. The researchers from the University of Bath School of Management and Trinity College Dublin followed people on the cusp of becoming conspiracy theorists to understand how people become involved in fringe ideas. They joined closed groups in online social networks and attended public meetings, conferences and protests. Well, a co-author from Trinity Business School, Dr. Stephen Murphy, is with us now. Good morning, Stephen. Thank you so much for your time.
Good morning, Greg. Thanks for having me on.
Right. So talk to me, in your words, frame what this exercise was all about.
Well, I suppose the first thing was that maybe a lot of the research that tends to be done on conspiracy theories would be based on things like surveys or, you know, I guess maybe sometimes it's like testing of personality traits and things like that. And some of the findings, I suppose, that tend to come from that kind of research is the belief that belief in conspiracy theories is an outcome of flawed personality types or maybe faulty thinking. And so I suppose we wanted to give a different perspective. We wanted to try to dig into the social aspects of conspiracy theory belief. And that was really where our research kicked off.
Yeah, but conspiracy theory, it's a broad term. Firstly, and the first thing you do if you want to attack someone you disagree with is you sort of try and make the name of what you call them have negative connotations straight off. And I think that's what happened with the words conspiracy theory. But also, too, you know, there are some very left of field opinions that are quite clearly and demonstrably a conspiracy theory. But there are others where it's just maybe thinking against the given narrative.
Yeah, I think that's definitely the case. I mean, I guess it's clear in one sense that conspiracies do exist on some levels. You know, people do conspire to, I suppose, take advantage of other people in some cases. So there's often a nugget of truth within conspiracy theories. But I guess as they spread online and people interact with them, and maybe often they might be kind of used to recruit people and to gain momentum by, I guess we see it a lot in the last while, being used by the far right to, I guess, kind of breed extremist views. So there definitely is a dangerous element to conspiracy theories. But I think we wanted to try to take a step back and try to, I guess, maybe understand what it was that was drawing people to conspiracy theories. You know, why is there such an appetite for this kind of explanation at the moment?
And what would your conclusion be if it's simple to articulate? Because it is a very complex area.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose what we identified within our research was a kind of three-step process which explained people's immersion into conspiracy theories. So that often started with, I suppose, an event or maybe a troubling life circumstance. In our research, that was things like maybe the loss of a job or a serious illness or even the death of a loved one. And what we found was that in these kinds of instances, a lot of people who end up believing in conspiracy theories felt like they were left down by the public sector or the services or politicians or governments that they were that were supposed to be protecting them. So there was one participant in our study who a close family member of his died unexpectedly in hospital, and he felt that he hadn't really got the treatment that he deserved from the health system. And so from that point then, he started to go online and to look for his own alternative explanations. And I think the thing that's interesting is that when people go online, they find that there's whole communities of like-minded people who are also out there searching for their own answers. And that's where this, I suppose, maybe the second part of our process kicks off. This is where the transformation really starts to take place, where people, in a sense, like move from, you know, people who are just casually looking for answers to actually become people who identify, or maybe not identify, but they become conspiracy theorists. And that happens when they start to maybe move from online into offline scenarios like conferences and public meetings. And they go to these meetings and they find that there's a real buzz, it's really welcoming. And there's a kind of an energy and sense of social connection that comes from trying to find the truth together. So that's really, I guess, the part where, you know, the kind of connection to conspiracy theories deepens. And the last part, I guess, which maybe goes back to what you mentioned earlier, but where it starts to become dangerous, is the final step where people start to become mobilized. And in our research, where we found that happening was where people spent lots of time online and often in person solving problems together and doing their own research and sharing those findings. But inevitably, even if you find the answer, the point is going to come where you have to go and do something about it. And that's where it leads to people joining protests and demonstrations. And that's where I guess it can really have a maybe more material and damaging impact on people.
Yeah, but there are those listening that would say, you know, what is a conspiracy theory 2 years ago is now generally accepted to be the truth. And that's where I think the complexity comes into it. What I think is interesting is that you will see there's almost a daisy chain. You can almost do a line of what could be called conspiracy theories over the last, I don't know how long, 10 or 15 years. And then when one pitters out or is disproven, they move to the next. So it seems you move with that community, or it's very hard to give up on that. So if you are sort of satisfied that you know, 5G is just accepted now and there's not much you can do about it, you might move on to, you know, chemtrails or something. No, I'm going to upset people who have firm beliefs in this area, but it's just the only way I can think of phrasing the question.
Yeah, I think the thing is, what we saw was that belief in conspiracy theories, it's maybe best understood as like an activity that people are engaged in. So we talk about in our research about conspiracy theorizing, and really that's something that's kind of continuous and ongoing. Mm. When you're engaged in this world and immersed in the kind of conversations that are happening, there's always like new events that are unfolding. There's always the standard like mainstream narrative. And there's always space for an alternative perspective that exists on the fringes. And that's why, you know, as events unfold, there's always some new event or talking point that conspiracy theorists can then go and start doing their own research in. And that's kind of like where conspiracy theories, I suppose, they continue to build on each other.
Mm. Do you not think, though the leaders of that movement or those that maybe profit from it or get the attention they seek from it have pivoted somewhat away from the big ones, do you know what I mean, be it flat earth or whatever it might be, and are sort of moving into sort of more the political space, whereby that's where you can get more traction, and whether something is or is not a conspiracy theory, the lines are even more blurred. I just think, I'm not sure there are tons of Telegram groups or Facebook groups now arguing whether or not we've a flat earth, but they might have be into whether there's a global plan to replace, you know, a particular race of people or what have you.
Yeah, for sure. So when we would have started the research in 2017, it was before the pandemic, and conspiracy theories were very much on the fringe at that point. And when we'd go to conferences, it was usually the themes would be around the kinds of issues that you mentioned there, like, you know, flat earth, or maybe it'd be about new age spirituality or some kind of, I suppose, maybe a bit more off the wall conspiracy. But since the pandemic, conspiracies have moved from that kind of weird and wacky much more into the political spectrum. And I think this is maybe where we see like the influence of the kind of, I suppose, the far right discourses from America finding their way maybe first into Britain, which is where we did the research, and then we see them coming over into Ireland. And that's where we're starting to see like much more talk around things like the great replacement theory, you know, the idea that the white race is slowly being replaced by people from different nationalities.
But the thing is, and I'm not being argumentative because this is just research, okay, but if you look in the United States, you know, you could have the President Donald Trump and his deputy J.D. Vance. J.D. Vance is saying exactly that Europe is being annihilated, that the UK is going to be the first Islamic country or Muslim country, I can't remember exactly what I said, with a nuclear weapon. We see in Britain as well what would have been seen as sort of anti-establishment, you know, what a woman is, two genders, biological sex, etc. And now government policy are legal in law. Again, you know, in a conference 3 or 4 years ago, that could have been seen as conspiracy theorists. And that's where, you know, even as people are listening to you, Stephen, they might think, well, you're trying to push a government narrative whereby discussing these things with others or attending a conference is a slippery slope. Does that make sense? It's not a go at you, don't get me wrong. It's just for the purpose of the conversation, Stephen.
I agree, Greg. I understand what you're saying. I think what we've seen in the last maybe since Trump's first term is that the kind of terms of acceptable conversation have shifted a lot. So, and that's gone towards the right. So, you know, I think you're right in what you're saying, that those kind of previously fringe ideas maybe around immigration have come much closer to the center. And they're much more like available and present within the mainstream. Conspiracy theories have played a role in that legitimization process. More and more people have come across these kinds of ideas from conspiracy theories. I mean, Trump you know, he's well able to use a conspiracy and throw conspiracies around to suit himself. So I like, that has to have made a huge difference when we think about the kind of attention that he gets. But I think for us, you know, it is about trying to understand this social dynamic. And that's what our research offers that's different. It's trying to dispel this idea that people who believe in conspiracy theories are just keyboard warriors, or that they're all angry and delusional. And what we want to do, and I suppose maybe how we want to contribute to this conversation, is to say these people are not all isolated, they're not all delusional, they haven't turned their back on society. When they're joining these communities, they're actually finding spaces where their opinions are accepted.
But maybe they're a subset of the population who are just have a different way of thinking. They believe different things. I mean, we don't have violence in the streets. These people aren't violent people. They might gather up, and you'll get some elements that will exploit that. But these are they're not sad cases, are they? These are just people who think different, and on many occasions can be proven right. And then sometimes opinion catches up with their opinion. Do we really need to be studying them and sort of, you know, identifying how they got to their points of view? Finally, Stephen.
I think it is important that we understand the social dynamics of what's happening here, because it allows us to ask critical questions about, I suppose, you know, political, social, economic decisions that are made by authorities, and how that leaves people like the ones we're talking about feel like they're excluded and on the margins. And that's where we can start to understand how conspiracy theories are flourishing.
Lovely stuff. Thank you very much indeed. I appreciate your time. That's Dr. Stephen Murphy, co-author from Trinity Business School. I wouldn't personally, not that it matters, and Stephen's, I'm sure, perfectly respectful of my view. I don't necessarily believe people that think alternatively are conspiracy theorists or in any danger or are going to gather up in numbers and be very disruptive. I think it probably suits people with their own narratives to paste them in that regard. I'm not saying that's what Dr. Murphy's doing by any stretch of the imagination, but the research is out there. Go and have a read of it. Maybe you agree, maybe you disagree. But maybe others are going, what's he on about? And that's the whole purpose of interviewing people and having conversations, because we kind of sort of get to that point where we can have a chat. I wanted to mention that McDade's Bathroom and Plumbing and Tiles are inviting you to a coffee morning on today, actually. It's running today, isn't it? Today's Thursday. And it's running until... It's from 10 a.m. I don't know when it concludes, but it's ongoing at the moment. So if you can get along, go to McDade's Bathroom, Plumbing and Tiles. It's a coffee morning to raise donations for the Alzheimer's. It's a public event by McDade's Bathroom, Plumbing and Tiles. So get in there if you are in that area. I presume it'll run until lunchtime anyway. Greg, it'd be more beneficial to Inishowen if you'd put that $12.5 million into the swimming pool in Buncrana, as promised before. Well, I believe that money for the swimming pool is ring-fenced and is there. So I'm not sure that money being transferred to that project would expedite that or speed that up. But I'm open to correction. Please correct me if I'm wrong. 086 60 25,000. Coming up after 11, we're back in the garden with Paul McLaughlin. If you have any questions relating to your garden, your porch, your balcony, your windowsill, your dog and cupboard, get them into us. 086 60 25,000, and we'll get as many of them answered as possible. Paddy and Mary Devlin, they're in Alta Hall in Clonmany. It's their golden anniversary today, their golden wedding anniversary today. Best wishes to you from Hugh, Brendan, also from grandchildren, Alana, Kira and Erin. So Paddy and Mary Devlin, hope you have a very special day on what is a remarkably special occasion.